Good morning, and welcome to worship here at St. John's Presbyterian Church in Cornwall, Ontario. Greetings to all of you who are watching us over our live streams on YouTube and Facebook. My name is Alexander Plant, for those of you who are not familiar with who I am. I am a second-year seminary student at the Presbyterian College in Montreal, and I am honored to be a member of this congregation. I have agreed to take on this final Sunday in the summertime while our usual minister, Reverend Robert Adams, is on vacation. So I'd like to thank each and every one of you for being with me over the summer and for being here with us today. Just a few announcements before we begin today's service. I'd like to thank Jennifer for being our designated singer for this Sunday. If you are interested in being a designated singer for our future services, even if you don't have a lot of singing talent or a lot of musical background, that's okay. When I first started out in the choir, I didn't think I could sing, and with a little bit of practice, you'd be surprised what you could do. So if you're interested, please get in contact with our music director, Gary, or with the church office. And as many of you know, there has been a disastrous explosion in the city of Beirut in Lebanon, and it destroyed the port of Beirut and a large portion of the city. Property damage and food crisis is critical in that area, and so Presbyterian World Service and Development, in partnership with the ACT Alliance, are assisting people in Lebanon, and they are in need of support. And this touches me a little bit on a personal level because I know someone directly who was injured in the blast. She works in an office block that has a direct view of where the port used to be. And so when she was working in her office, the glass around her exploded and she got caught in the blast. And I'm very thankful that a colleague of hers was able to pull her out of the rubble and get her to a hospital. Otherwise, she might not have made it. The situation is desperate, and so the Presbyterian World Service and Development are calling on all of us here at the Presbyterian Church in Canada to do what we can to help the people of Lebanon. Donations to Lebanon can be made using our established giving channels, in which more details can be found on our website, stjohnscornwall.ca. And until Monday, August the 24th, donations will be matched by the Government of Canada up to $5 million. And before we go any further with the service, I would like to continue our recent tradition of taking a contact tracing photo to let us know who was at the service. And one more on this side. Perfect. Please join me in the call to worship, which can be found on your screens. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the nations be glad and sing with joy. Let the people praise you, O God. And we light the Christ candle as a reminder of Christ's presence with us. Let us come together for the prayer of approach. Let us pray. Loving and generous God, you make all things new. We are joyously blessed to be together in your house of prayer this day. You invite all people into your fold to receive your blessing. Justice and right relations have their source in you. We are filled with joy to be counted among your children. And as we gather, make us one in worship and thanksgiving. We lift our voices to proclaim your all-encompassing love. And may our praise join with the praise of all your people and reach the ends of the earth, for you are our Savior and our hope. In your name we pray. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 292, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Hymn number 292. Let us join in prayer in the prayer of confession, which will be on the screens before you. Let us pray. Merciful and wise God, we confess that we have not lived as you taught us to live. Forgive us for the times we have not welcomed others into our community, and when we have avoided others because we were blinded by our prejudice. Forgive us the ways we have judged unfairly. Reveal to us that which separates us from others and our failure to seek your goodness in those who seem different from us. We pray this in your most precious name. Amen. And now hear the words of the assurance of pardon. Dear friends, while it is true that we have all sinned, it is a greater truth that we are forgiven through God's love in Jesus Christ. To all who humbly seek the mercy of God, I say in Jesus Christ, our sin is forgiven. Be at peace with God, with yourselves, and with one another. Amen. And now for our time with the young and the young at heart. I'm not sure if any of you can see what this is, although the camera's picking it up quite nicely. It's a pencil. I'm sure every single one of you have used this at least once before. Yeah. And a pencil is a very useful tool, especially if you're doing math or science or stuff that needs to be heavily edited, because you write stuff down, you make a mistake, and you can erase it. And sometimes we do the same thing with ourselves. When we say something and we try to apologize for something mean we've said, we use an apology instead of an eraser to try and erase the wrong that we did. I absolutely love that this pencil has an eraser so that I could easily just erase the mistakes that I made. But this pencil has a limit. Because if I sharpen it all the way until the end, it'll run out of, I'm assuming this is made out of graphite, not lead anymore. And if I erase too much, then the rubber will completely run out and there won't be any eraser left. And just like this pencil, Jesus erases our wrongdoings and leaves a nice, clean, blank page for new things to write. But unlike this pencil, that'll eventually run out and not be of any use, Jesus doesn't run out. His forgiveness is endless. His forgiveness is boundless. And his forgiveness is perfect. And we're going to learn a little bit more about what it means to forgive those who have already been forgiven. But let us come together for the prayer of illumination, and then let us hear the word of God. Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. God of all the ages, as you gather to listen to your word today, silence the thoughts that distract us. Open our hearts to hear the challenge and the comfort you offered us. In the name of Jesus Christ, your living word. Amen.
Genesis 45, verses 1 to 15. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Jesus said to his brothers, Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed they were at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt, and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother's Benjamin neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all of his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Well, second reading is Psalm 133, and it will be read responsively. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity.
It is like the precious oil on the head, running down upon the beard.
On the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes.
It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion.
For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. Our third reading, we switch to the New Testament, Romans chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, and then 29 to 32. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he pleads with God against Israel? For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. And then on to Matthew chapter 15, verses 10 to 28. Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defiles a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And there a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he said no answer to her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his words to us.
Let us have a quick word of prayer. O Lord our God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight now and forever. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the Genesis story within chapters 37 to 50, the story of Joseph in Egypt, which serves as an inspiration for the musical comedy Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. While it would be entertaining for you to watch me try to reenact that performance for you here, I opted instead to give you a brief summary of the story for those who'd like a refresher. Joseph is one of Jacob's 12 sons. Parents don't often play favorites with their children, as they are usually loved equally, but he had a favorite son, and it was Joseph. This was mainly because Joseph was born to him in an old age, so it seemed that Jacob was like a miracle child. So Jacob created a beautifully luxurious robe, and this is where the amazing Technicolor dream coat comes in. Jacob had 11 other sons, and they saw the way that he treated Joseph, and they naturally became jealous, just like any sibling rivalry would have. It gets even more complicated when Joseph starts telling his brothers that he's having dreams where he's seeing the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowing down to him. 11 stars and 11 brothers. What a coincidence. His 11 brothers, however, become enraged and plot to kill Joseph out of pure jealousy. However, one brother eased the others and convinced him to fake his death. They sold Joseph into slavery to a caravan who took him to Egypt and then sold him again to the captain of Pharaoh's guard. Now, Joseph had the favor of the Lord and continued to have these very strange dreams. He had dreams of two prisoners where he correctly predicted that one would be freed and the other would be killed. The Pharaoh heard of this and called upon Joseph's ability to interpret troubling dreams. Pharaoh recognizes Joseph's God-given ability and makes him chief administrator of Egypt. Pretty big title. When a famine hits the region, Joseph's dream interpretation and quick thinking allows him to store enough food to last the famine period. Others, like his 11 brothers, do not foresee the famine, and so they're forced to come into Egypt to buy the food that they need. And Joseph encounters his brothers once again, but this time he conceals his identity. He tests his brothers by accusing them of being spies, and he orders them to return with a specific brother, Benjamin. He further tests them by placing a silver cup in Benjamin's sack and accusing him of theft. And when another one of his brothers, Judah, offers to take the place of Benjamin, Joseph sees that the character of these once jealous brothers, the brothers who left him for dead and sold him into slavery, had changed. And Joseph decided to reveal himself to them. And we pick up towards the end of the story in our scripture reading for today. Genesis 45, verses 1 to 15, looks at Joseph's big reveal to his brothers. This is one of the more refreshing pieces of scripture because it gives us an actual look into the emotional development of the people involved. Many times when you're reading the Gospels, we don't get to see exactly how Jesus feels or how he expresses himself when the disciples don't understand his parables or when people challenge him. Usually in the Bible it says, Jesus says XYZ. It doesn't say Jesus angrily yells at the disciples saying blank, or Jesus wept and said blank. Very rare when that actually does happen. But in this instance, we actually get to look at the emotional state of Joseph. Joseph could no longer control himself and orders all of his attendants, and he cried out, "Everyone leave my presence." We can imagine how overwhelmed someone can be to lose all self-control, especially in a stressful situation. In verse 2, it describes him as weeping so loudly that the Egyptians heard him and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Imagine if I was standing here shouting at the very top of my lungs so loudly that the people outside of those very thick stone walls could hear me. This is how loud we're talking. And there's so much emotion that we can see here. And when we see that Joseph reveals himself, his brothers are terrified at his presence. Here is the man they left for dead, enraged by jealousy and freed from their younger brother, who to them bragged about his God-given abilities and had favoritism towards his father. Now the roles are exactly reversed. Joseph is now in the position of power, and the 11 brothers, the 11 stars, came to him and cowered in fear. Joseph's brothers knew that he could have them all sold into slavery or imprisoned or killed. They knew that Joseph had the favor of Pharaoh, and with a snap of a finger, they could all lose their lives. They knew that he single-handedly prevented a disaster, which would have had enormous repercussions across the entire known world. And Joseph had every right to be angry, had every right to desire revenge, betrayed by his own brothers, tossed aside and left for dead. But instead of exacting revenge, Joseph said this, "Do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all that you have. I will provide you for you there because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute." And we see towards the end of the passage that Joseph threw his arms around Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced Joseph in return and also wept. Joseph kissed all of his brothers and wept over all of them. And then Joseph talked with his brothers, catching up with the lost years. What was once lost and forgotten over many years has now come back and been restored. The familiar relationship between 12 brothers is healed, and Joseph has room for all of them. Not just his brothers, but his nieces and his nephews, the flocks and the herds. Joseph could have simply forgiven them and sent them back on their way. But Joseph forgave the forgiven. He took the extra step and provided a place for those who once betrayed him. And just like Joseph, we see countless examples of Jesus showing kindness and forgiveness towards those who've harmed him. His very disciples that abandoned him during his arrest were forgiven. The very people that nailed him to a cross, forgiven. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Through Jesus, we are forgiven. All of us. But that is not the end of it. The Lord's Prayer, the one that we pray every single Sunday, says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." As we forgive our debtors. Not God's debtors, ours. We must not allow the Lord's Prayer to become empty words. We ourselves call to God in this prayer. This is the prayer that Jesus taught us. But it is we who are praying it. We are the ones to give it meaning, to give it life. And of course, it isn't easy to forgive other people, especially when that debt is so massive and overwhelming. Sometimes it just takes a long time. Days, weeks, months, years, even decades to forgive someone. Just as Joseph took years to have the opportunity to forgive his brothers. He could have gone to them or have them brought to him any time while he was administrator of Egypt. He could have attempted to flee from his situation and sought out his brothers to forgive them, but he didn't. it took him years to forgive his brothers. Just like for some of us, it will take years to forgive those who have wronged us. We must recognize that we as human beings have those limitations. We have Jesus as our inspiration and guide, but we cannot always follow that path so exactly. What are we called to do? We must do as the Lord has taught us. Forgive our debtors. Pray that God not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray not in the hope that God doesn't lead us into evil, but that we ourselves do not turn to evil. We pray that God stands firm as the foundation of goodness, of forgiveness. And we call upon the Lord to deliver us from evil. And when we cannot find it within ourselves to forgive our neighbor for whatever reason, let us spend time with God to seek that strength that is needed, to find the strength that is not within us. Even if we work towards forgiveness over days or weeks or months or years, whatever it takes, we must forgive one another. We must be there for one another, especially now, when there is so much instability, so much change, and so much anger in the world. We must stand true to ourselves and forgive. Forgive those who need forgiveness, but also forgive those who have been forgiven. Those who have been forgiven by God or by other people. For we are the ones called to forgive, just as Jesus has forgiven us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our mission moment for today takes us to the island nation of Mauritius, located in the Indian Ocean just east of Madagascar. Your financial gifts go not only to the work of St. John's Church here in Cornwall, but it also helps support projects like the Formation Biblique et Théologique à Maurice, a theological training program for over 1,700 Christians. Let's take a moment to learn more about our mission moment. Thank you. Let us come together for the prayer of thanksgiving and intercession. Let us pray. Living Christ, so many different people reached out to you in times of desperation with so many different needs, and yet you had compassion for them all. Lord Jesus, we know both struggle and joy in our lives too. This day we set before you our many different hopes and concerns. Fill us with your compassion as we pray. We pray for our church family and everything we hope for in the face of so much change. We pray for the choices we face in our country and community, in our homes and our workplaces, and for all the responsibilities we bear in our different roles. We pray for your peace in the face of troubles that weary us, the situations that puzzle us, and the uncertainty that surrounds us. Living Christ, you are the source of peace and new possibilities for us all. Help us trust in your grace for today and all days. Fill us with the strength and hope we need to walk with you, united in your compassionate love. And as we are gathered together, we pray the words that you have taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thine kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please join me in our closing hymn. The hymn that we have selected is hymn number 570. I have decided to follow Jesus. Hymn number 570. And as you go forth into the world, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.